بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the third principle from the three principles, and it is the saying of the author, rahimahullah, Al-Aslu Thalith, Ma'rifatu Nabiyikum Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The third principle, meaning the third question which you are going to be asked about in your grave, is Man Nabiyikum, who is your prophet? Ma'rifatu Nabiyikum Muhammadin Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That you have to know and have knowledge of your Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when the author said, knowing your Prophet, meaning you have to know something about his life, the basics of his seerah, the basics of his call, how many years did he live, where was he born, where did he die, these things every Muslim has to know. Because if you say to a non-Muslim, you say, I believe, أشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. You say, I believe and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the worship and the messenger of Allah. You say this to a non-Muslim. Then a Muslim says to you, okay, so this Muhammad who you are testifying that he is the messenger of Allah and he is the worship of Allah, who is he? Where was he born? What did he call to? So these things you have to know regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as for the name Muhammad, firstly the name Muhammad, some of the scholars of An-Nasab, lineage and ascription, they say that this name Muhammad, it was unique to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's nobody before him who was given this name Muhammad. There was Ahmad, and Muhammad is a derivative of Ahmad. And of course, Ahmad is mentioned in the scriptures. And also Hamid or Hamad, all these names existed. As for the name Muhammad itself, it was not known amongst the Arabs. The second opinion is that it was a name which was used for a very small amount of people, maybe two or three people before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were named with this name, and that is the correct opinion. The meaning of Muhammad, it has three meanings. Firstly, Dhul Khisal al-Hamida, the one who is possessing praiseworthy characteristics. So Muhammad comes from the word hamd, ha, mim, dal, which means somebody or something which is praised and spoken well about. So the first meaning of Muhammad is somebody who possesses praiseworthy manners and morals and ethics and characteristics and traits. And of course, it was the grandfather of the Prophet Abdul Muttalib who named him Muhammad. Now, of course, Abdul Muttalib, who died as a mushrik, he didn't know that this boy, this baby Muhammad, was going to be a messenger and he was going to have good characteristics. But the Arabs have something called at-tafa'ul. And at-tafa'ul is a type of optimism, and this is permitted. So at-tasha'um, which is pessimism or seeing bad omens, this is from a shirk, and this is not allowed. Somebody, for example, sees a black crow on a particular path, then he says, okay, I won't go use that path, I'll go on another path because it's a superstition, or it's a bad omen, or it's a type of pessimism. This is not allowed. The opposite of it, at-tafa'ul, is allowed. And at-tafa'ul is seeing a good sign in something, or if the word is correct, a good omen in something, or showing a lot of optimism. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, like our Imam mentioned in the khutbah, at-tiyaratu shirkun, at-tiyaratu shirkun, at-tiyaratu shirkun. That superstitions or bad omens through sighting a bird or a crow or something like this, it is shirk, and he said it three times. So this isn't allowed. And this is something that we have to be careful about because it's a type of a shirk. Some people, for example, some of the sports stars, when they're walking, they won't step on a line. Or they'll always have a bag on the right shoulder. Or they'll hug a particular person before they go onto the field. And all of this is superstition. So this is not allowed. And the Arabs of old, and even today in some of the Muslim communities, they used to believe in superstitions. So for example, they would, if they saw a crow, then that was a bad omen or a superstition or a bad sign. Or they would hang, for example, the head of a horse. And even in this country, the English, the non-Muslims, they have this. A lot of the pubs, you'll see the head of a horse or the head of a ram, it is hung up because it wards off the evil superstitions. So all these types of things are not allowed. And as for at-tafa'ul, then in the hadith, وَكَانَ يُعْجِبُهُ التَّفَاؤُلُ. As for at-tafa'ul, optimism, and seeing something as a good sign, this was pleasing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An example of this is when the Quraysh and the Muslims, when they came together to sign the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah. It was a peace treaty which was signed originally for 10 years between the Muslims of Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Quraysh in Mecca. The Quraysh, they sent a person called Sahal. The person who went to negotiate this treaty and sign this treaty, he was named Sahal. In Arabic, the meaning of the word Sahal or the name Sahal means easy. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took an optimistic stance from this and he said, inshallah, it will be easy because his name is easy. The reason why I mention this is the Arabs, when it came to giving names to their children, they would do the same. So for example, Khalid means somebody who lives for eternity or very, very, very long time. And this is an Arab name. Why did the Arabs used to name their children Khalid? As a form of optimism that his name is Khalid and inshallah he will live for a long time. Or for example, and also like Muhammad. So Muhammad, this name was given by Abdul Muttalib as a form of optimism that we give him the name Muhammad. And when he grows up, he will be a person who is Muhammad, meaning somebody who possesses many noble characteristics and traits. That's one meaning. The other meaning of Muhammad is somebody who has been praised. Muhammad a Mahmud, is somebody who has been praised. Meaning, he was praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. We have raised for you your remembrance. And then the final meaning of Muhammad is الَّذِي يَسْتَحِقْ الْحَمْدِ, the one who is deserving of praise. Because of the noble characteristics which he had, he's deserving of our praise. And all these meanings were found in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you look at his seerah, the noble manners were with him. And the noble ethics and the traits and the characteristics, they were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the third principle is knowing your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you are asked by somebody, this Muhammad that you're talking about, that you're basing your testimony on, who is this person, where did he live, how long did he live for, you have to know these things. He said, the author, وَهُوَ Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abd al-Muttalib ibn Hashim, وَهَاشِمْ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ وَقُرَيْشِ مِنَ الْعَرَبِ وَالْعَرَبِ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ إِسْمَعِيلِ إِبْنِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ الْخَلِيلِ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى نَبِيِّنَا أَفْضَلُ الصَّلَاةِ وَالسَّلَامِ. This sentence, it contains in it the name of the Prophet, the name of his father, and then the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These things we have to know. Who was the Prophet, who was his father, and what was his nasab, what was his lineage. So he is Muhammad. And we explained the meaning of the word Muhammad. Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah. So the father of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his name was Abdullah. And this word Abdullah, it was famous even before Islam. So even the mushrikun of Jahiliyyah, they were called names like Abdullah because they used to believe in the one creator who is Allah, but then they did forms of ashirk. And then his father was Abdul Muttalib. His grandfather was Abdul Muttalib. And Abdul Muttalib was from a tribe the Hashim. So Hashim was one of the forefathers from Abdul Muttalib, and then the tribe was called Banu Hashim, the family of Hashim. And Hashim was from Quraysh. And also Quraysh, this word Quraysh, it was one of the great forefathers or great grandfathers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was an actual person. His name was something else, but his nickname was Quraysh. I think his name was Fihr, something like this. And his nickname was Quraysh. And then the tribe got named after Quraysh. So this person, Quraysh, he had many children. One of his children were called Hashim. And this is where the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came from. Well, Quraysh min al-Arab. And the Quraysh, they were from the Arabs. So the Arab, they have many tribes. The best of the tribes of the Arab are the Quraysh. And then Quraysh had many sons, i.e. many tribes. And the best of the tribes of Quraysh is Banu Hashim. And then the best of Banu Hashim is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is from a hadith. He said, Ana khiyar ibn khiyar ibn khiyar. That I am the best, the son of the best, the son of the best. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was the best of creation. And he was the son of Banu Hashim, who were the best of the Quraysh. And they were the children of Quraysh, and they were the best of the Arabs. والعرب من ذرية إسماعيل. And the Arabs, this ethnicity, they are from the descendants of Ismail, Prophet Ismail alayhi salam. The Arabs are two types. There are Al-Arab Al-Aribah and Al-Arab Al-Musta'ribah. Al-Arab Al-Aribah, they are the original Arabs upon the earth. And then Al-Arab Al-Musta'ribah are those who are non-Arabs, and then later on they became Arabs. And Ismail alayhi salam and his descendants, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were from the second group. So Ismail alayhi salam was not an Arab. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was not an Arab. They were Arab musta'riba. They were non-Arabs. Of course, we're talking thousands of years ago, but they were originally non-Arabs, who then became Arabs through mixing with the real Arabs and learning their language and speaking their language. And the proof of this is the story of Ismail alayhi salam. Ismail alayhi salam, when he came to Mecca, it was a valley in which there was no person, no animals, no crops, there was nothing. And then a party from Yemen came, and they were the original Arabs from Jurhum, Bani Jurhum. They were the original Arabs. And they came and they mixed with Ismail alayhi salam because they wanted to drink from the water of Zamzam, as you know. And they taught him the Arabic language, and then he became an Arab. So Al-Arab Al-Ariba, the original ethnic Arabs, most of them are extinct. Apart from, the ulama mention Al-Qahtan from Yemen. Apart from them, Al-Qahtan from Yemen, they were one of the original true ethnic Arabs. They were the ones who came from Yemen and mixed with Ismail alayhi salam, and then he became an Arab. And we're talking, obviously, as I mentioned, 1,000 years ago. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he also described himself. He said, Ana ibnu dhabihain, that I am the son of the two slaughters. I am the son of the two slaughters. Ibn Dhabihain, the son of the two slaughters, meaning the son of Abdullah, his father, and the son of Ismail. Because Ismail alayhi salam was meant to be slaughtered by Ibrahim. If you remember the story, Allah ordered Ibrahim as a test to slaughter Ismail, just as a test. And as the Prophet Ibrahim was about to answer that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exchanged Ismail for a ram. So he was meant to be slaughtered. So he is called Al-Dhabih, the first slaughter. The second one was the father of Abdullah. The father of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was Abdullah. He was also meant to be slaughtered. However, Abdul Muttalib, the Prophet's grandfather, he paid a ransom for his father not to be slaughtered. And that's why one of the nicknames of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Ibn Dhabihain, the son of the two who were meant to be slaughtered. Also, from the evidences that Ismail and Ibrahim alayhim as-salam were not original ethnic Arabs, was that the name of Prophet Ibrahim is what? Who knows the name of Prophet Ibrahim in the Quran is mentioned? Azar. Azar was the name of Prophet Ibrahim. This name Azar is not an Arabic name. Azar, wallahu a'lam, perhaps is a Persian name or another name, but it's not an Arabic name. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his father is Abdullah, his grandfather is Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib is from the children or from the progeny of Hashim, and Hashim was a son from Quraysh, and Quraysh were from the Arabs, rather the best of the Arabs. The Arabs, meaning Al-Arab al-Musta'riba, they came from the lineage of Ismail alayhi salam. And Ismail alayhi salam was the son of the great prophet and messenger Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the author described Ibrahim alayhi salam as being Al-Khalil. And Al-Khalil is the one who has achieved the highest level of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is called Al-Khulla. The highest level of love is Al-Khulla. And this was a title which was given to Ibrahim alayhi salam because of his great test in defending At-Tawheed. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's Al-Khalil. And the nickname of Musa alayhi salam is Kalimullah. So Ibrahim is Khalilullah, the most beloved of Allah. And Musa alayhi salam is Kalimullah, the one whom Allah spoke to, I directly, without an angel in the middle. As for our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of his virtues is that he is Khalilullah wa Kalimullah. He is Khalilullah, he is also the most beloved of Allah, and he is also Kalimullah, he is also the one to whom Allah spoke without an angel. So he is Khalilullah because he mentioned in the hadith, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ اتَّخَذِنِي خَلِيلًا. However, Allah has taken me as his Khalil. Allah has taken me as his most beloved. And he is Kalimullah because when the Prophet was taken up to the seven heavens, Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him directly without an angel in the middle. And this is one of the virtues of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam above the rest of creation. Ibrahim was Khalilullah, Musa was Kalimullah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Khalilullah and Kalimullah. Alayhi wa ala nabiyyina afdalu salati wassalam. He said, وَلَهُ مِنَ الْعُمْرِ, and his age was 63 years. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he lived for 63 years upon the earth. And then the author, he breaks down his age. He said, مِنْهَا أَرْبَعُونَ قَبْلَ النُّبُوَّةِ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he lived as a man just known as Muhammad for 40 years before prophethood came to him. When he was 40 years old, then prophethood came to him. وَثْلَاثٌ وَعِشْرُونَ نَبِيٍّ وَرَسُولًا, and then he lived 23 further years as a prophet and a messenger. And the author, he mentions نَبِيًّا وَرَسُول. The prophet was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was a nabi, he was a prophet, and he was a rasul, and he was a messenger. So is there a difference between somebody being a Nabi and somebody being a Rasul? There is a difference. And the Anbiya, the Prophets, were more in number, and the Rusul were less in number. And the Ulama, then they differ. What is the difference between a Nabi and a Rasul? And there's many different explanations which they give. One of the explanations which they give is a Rasul is somebody to whom a new sharia has been given, a new risala has been given. And as for a nabi, he is somebody who is ordered to follow the sharia of a messenger. That's the difference between a nabi and a rasul, and there are other explanations which are given. A rasul is the one who is given a new risala, a new messenger, a new sharia. A nabi is the one who has been ordered to implement the sharia of the prophet, the previous prophet. So for example, between Musa alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam, there will have been many different prophets. And these prophets, they followed the Sharia of Musa alayhi as-salam. And like that, and Allah knows best. He said, Nubbi'a bi-iqra. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he became a prophet by iqra. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the story of the revelation when he went to Mount Hira, the cave, and he used to sit there and contemplate, and then Angel Jibreel alayhi salam came to him. The story is famous, and he said to him, iqra, recite. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ma ana biqari, I'm not somebody who can recite, because he couldn't read or write. He was an unlettered prophet, Nabiyun Ummi, could not read or write. Then Angel Jibreel squeezed him and he said, iqra, once again with more force. Then the Prophet said, ma ana biqari, I'm not able to read or write. Then once again, and then he said to him, iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read or recite in the name of your Lord who created you. خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Surah Al-Alaq in the 30th juz. So when this was revealed to him, now he became a prophet. He has been chosen by Allah, and he is unique amongst the rest of creation. After this happened, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he returned back to Mecca, and he returned to his wife Khatija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. And then he placed his blessed head on her lap, and he said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me, cover me. Because at that time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't know what had happened. Who was this being he's just seen? Is there something wrong with him? He did not know what had happened. And then Khatija radiallahu anha, and this shows us one that she was very intelligent, she realized that this person is not a normal person. And this incident which has just occurred wasn't a normal incident. It wasn't a ghost, it wasn't a spirit, it was something which was different. And then she said her famous statement, she said, Wallahi, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْذِلُكَ أَبَدًا. By Allah, He will never betray you. Allah will never betray you. Why? إِنَّكَ تَنْصُرُ الضَّعِيفِ. Because you are somebody who helps the weak. And you help the poor. وَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمِ. And you keep the ties of kinship. And she mentioned other good things about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then she took him to Waraqat ibn Nawfal. And the story is famous. Maybe we'll go into it in more detail if we study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he became a Nabi, a prophet, by the descending of Surah Al-Alaq, Iqra, on Mount Hira when he was 40 years old. Then for a while, there was a break in revelation. Then for a while, there was no more revelation. And then once again, the revelation came to him, وَأُرْسِلَ بِالْمُدَّثِّرِ. Then he became a messenger with Al-Muddathir, meaning the saying of Allah, Ya ayyuhal Muddathir, qum fa'anzir, wa rabbaka fakabbir, wa thiyabaka fatahir, wa rujza fahjur. Meaning, with this ayah, Ya ayyuhal Muddathir, qum fa'anzir. Ya ayyuhal Muddathir, qum fa'anzir, stand up, get up and warn the people. So now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been ordered to go deliver this message to his people. Who was he obligated to call first? His close relatives. Because Allah said, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Go out and warn those people who are closer to you. Your relatives, your family, go and warn them first. I warn them against a shirk. وَبَلَدُهُ مَكَّةٌ. And his balad, his city, his place, his origin, it is Mecca. He was born in Mecca. And Mecca is the most sacred city upon the face of the earth, the most sacred land upon the face of the earth. And Mecca is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore from our iman is also to love Mecca. And this is something that we as Muslims, we have to feel in our hearts, that we have to feel that Mecca is our city and Mecca is a sacred city and we have to love Mecca. And this is from loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama, they mention that loving Allah, it means loving four things. Loving Allah means loving four things. First of all, you have to love the actions which Allah loves. You have to love the actions which Allah loves. So, Allah loves At-Tawheed, we have to love At-Tawheed. Allah loves As-Salah, we have to love As-Salah. And therefore, if you truly love Allah, then the Salah, you shouldn't find it something which is difficult upon you, or as if it's a burden upon you, or as if you're doing a favor to Allah, or as if it's a problem that you have to pray. Rather, you have to find in yourself love for this action which Allah loves, which is As-Salah. So somebody who doesn't love As-Salah, doesn't love the prayer in his heart, then in reality he hasn't fulfilled the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He cannot claim the love of Allah. So a part of loving Allah is loving the actions which Allah loves. Allah loves jihad, we have to love jihad. Tawheed, salah, zakah, as-sabr, being patient. Allah loves patience, we have to love this action of patience. The second thing that a person has to love is al-amil. The first one is amal, the second is al-amil. You have to love those people who Allah loves. So Allah loves Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Part of our love of Allah is loving those people who Allah loves. We know that Allah loves Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and Aisha radiallahu anhu ajma'in. We have to love Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and Aisha and the rest of the companions. Allah loves the people of Tawheed. We have to love the people of At-Tawheed. Allah loves the Anbiya. Allah loves the Awliya. Allah loves the Ulama. Allah loves the Shuhada, the martyrs. We have to also love the prophets and the awliya and the scholars and the martyrs and so on and so forth. Also, you have to love those times which Allah loves. So first was amal, love the action which Allah loves. Secondly, al-amil, love those people who Allah loves. Thirdly, al-zaman, you have to love those times which Allah loves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves Ramadan. It's sacred. So we as Muslims, we have to love Ramadan. We have to have in our hearts a love of Ramadan. Allah loves Dhul Hijjah. Allah loves Yom Arafah. Allah loves Eid al-Adha, Eid al-Fitr. Allah loves the last 10 days of Ramadan. We have to love these days. Allah loves Jum'ah. Jum'ah is sacred. We have to find it sacred in our hearts. And then the fourth thing is, you have to love those places, al-Makan, those places which Allah loves. So Allah loves Makkah, and this is the point, we have to love Makkah. Allah loves Al-Madinah, we have to love Madinah. Allah loves Al-Aqsa or Jerusalem. It's sacred in Islam, therefore we have to love that place. We have to find in our heart a love and the fact that this place is sacred. Allah loves the Masajid, we have to love the Masajid. And Makkah is the best place upon the earth in terms of how sacred it is. More than even Al-Madinah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as he was being exiled from Mecca, he turned around and he said, Wallahi, innaki la khayru ardillah ilallah. He said, by Allah, you are the most beloved land of Allah to Allah. Wa ahabbu ardillah ilayya. And you are the most beloved land of Allah to me. And then he said, walawla أني أخرجت منك لما خرجت. And had it not been for me being forced out of exile to leave Mecca, then I would not have exited and left Mecca. وهاجر إلى المدينة. And then he made hijrah to Al-Madinah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after 13 years of prophethood in Mecca, then he made hijrah to Al-Madinah, and then therein he died sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is a very basic seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What was his name? The name of his father, the name of his grandfather, his lineage. How old was he when he died? How many years before prophethood? How many years as a prophet and messenger? With which ayah or with which surah did he become a prophet? With which surah did he become a rasul? What was his city in which he was born, and what was the city to which he migrated and to which he was died. The next thing, and just as important, is what was the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So if you say ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh to a non-Muslim, and then he asks you, okay, this Muhammad that you're talking about sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what did he call to? What was his message? How can you be a Muslim and you don't know anything about the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So what was his message? The author said, ba'athahu Allahu bin-nadharati 'anish-shirk wa yad'u ila at-tawhid. That Allah sent him with a warning against a shirk and with the call to a tawheed. This is what was the core of his message. Before anything else, before good manners, before salah, before hijab, before jihad, before anything else, the core message and the most important message was an-nidharatu 'anish-shirk wa ad-da'wa ila at-tawhid. To warn against a shirk and to call to a tawheed. And this is the summary of La ilaha illallah. Because if you remember, when we were revising in the last lesson, you said La ilaha illallah has two pillars. The first pillar is an-nafi, negating something. And the second pillar is al-ithbat, affirming something. You have to negate the false deities, I warn against shirk, and you have to affirm at-tawheed, or affirm the worship of Allah, which is calling to Allah. So the author here, he emphasizes that point again. That the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the La ilaha illallah which the Prophet came with, was two pillars. Warning against shirk and all of the false deities, and affirming tawheed and affirming the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What dalil? So what's the evidence of this? He said, the evidence is Ya ayyuhal muddathir, Surah al-Muddathir, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he calls and addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya ayyuhal muddathir, O you who is enveloped in garments. Qum fa'andhir, stand up, get up and warn. So look, the first thing that comes is a warning, meaning warn against a shirk. So this is a nafi. Then, wa rabbaka fakabbir, and exalt your Lord. And this is al-ithbat, this is affirmation. So first Allah said to him, qum fa'andhir, arise and warn them, meaning warn them against shirk, negate the false deities. Wa rabbaka fakabbir, and also exalt your Lord, meaning exalt your Lord with at-tawheed. What is the evidence from this word, wa rabbaka fakabbir, and your Lord exalt him, that this is pointing towards at-tawheed? Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh, in his explanation, he mentions a beautiful point. He said, in the Arabic language, normal Arabic should be kabbir rabbaka. In normal Arabic, the command comes first, exalt rabbaka, your Lord. This is how Arabic is. So you say, for example, kul at-tufaha, eat the apple. The command comes first and then the thing comes later. So in normal Arabic, it should be fakabbir rabbaka, exalt your Lord. In this ayah, Allah mentions it the other way. First, he mentions wa rabbaka, your Lord, and then he mentions the command fakabbir, exalt him. And this is from the language of the Arabs, that when they want to restrict something and make something unique, what should have been second in the sentence, it comes first. And this is what to restrict it, meaning this takbir which you're going to make of Allah, this exaltation which you're going to make of Allah, it is only for Allah. Because it should have been fakabbir rabbaka, but Allah mentioned wa rabbaka fakabbir. So he bought the thing which should have been second, he bought it at the beginning, and then he mentioned the order of the verb secondly. So this is that this takbir is an act of worship which has to be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is at-tawheed. Wa thiyabaka fatahhir, and your garments, purify them. Wa rujza fahjur, and the rujz, stay away from them. And then after this, the author, he makes tafsir of these few ayat. He says, the author, wa ma'na qum fa'andhir, that the meaning of qum fa'andhir, the meaning of arise and warn, a yundhir an shirk, that warn your people against a shirk. And the meaning of wa rabbaka fakabbir, exalt your Lord, أي عظمه بالتوحيد. Exalt your Lord with التوحيد. So this is النفي والإثبات. وثيابك فطهر. And your garments, purify them. The author says that the meaning of this ayah is طهر أعمالك عن الشرك. That purify your actions from الشرك. So even though the literal word is of thiyab is clothing, but the tafsir of this is not your physical clothing. Rather, it is your actions. And for tahir, purify them, meaning not wash your garments with water, rather purify your actions from a shirk. And where is the evidence for this? Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh, in the tafsir, he mentions that the mufassirun, there are two different explanations to this ayah. Some of the mufassirun said that وَثِيَابَكَ فَالطَّهِرْ, purify your garments, means your clothes, purify them with water. The other mufassirun, and they are the majority, they said, no, here thiyab, it means actions. It doesn't mean physical garments. For a number of reasons. Firstly, the context of the ayat. If you look at the context of the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about shirk and at-tawheed. يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَّثِرْ قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ, arise and warn. أي أنذر قومك عن الشرك, I warn them against a shirk. وربك فكبر, and exalt your Lord, meaning عظمه بالتوحيد, exalt him with التوحيد. وثيابك فطهر, so if you now look at the context of these ayat, it's not talking about physical purification, it's talking about the purity of توحيد away from a shirk. So this is the first evidence that the meaning of ثيابك فطهر is not your physical clothing, rather it is your actions. Also, they say that your thiyab, your clothing, they're those things which are always with you. And also your actions. Your actions are always with you. And therefore Allah says a thiyab here, and the meaning is al-amal. The meaning is actions. وَالرُّجْزَ فَهْجُرْ, and the rujz, abandon them. Al-rujz, it is al-asnam. It is the false idols. وَهَجْرُهَا تَرْكُهَا, and the meaning of abandoning them is staying away from them. وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْهَا, and freeing yourself from them. وَمِنْ أَهْلِهَا, and freeing yourself from the people of the idols. So it's not enough for a person just to say, I don't believe in a shirk. You have to hate shirk, and you have to free yourself from shirk, and you have to free yourself from the people of shirk, and you have to free yourself from all of the activities which involve a shirk. All of the celebrations, all of the festivals, all of the greetings and congratulations, anything which involves a shirk, then you have to free yourself from that. And therefore, even using greetings like Happy Christmas or Happy Easter or whatever the other greetings are, all of it is not allowed, because this goes against your at-tawheed. Okay, we'll suffice with that inshallah for this lesson. And then in the next lesson, we try to complete the rest of this treatise. Wallahu a'lam, sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.